Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Yesterday, and really for the last 20 hours or so, it's been all about Mike Tomlin sitting down with Stephen A. Smith of ESPN and saying a ton of different things in regards to the defense of his backup quarterback, Mason Rudolph, including this.
I fully support Mason Rudolph. We as an organization fully support Mason Rudolph. And to be quite honest with you, we were hacked off with what we saw this weekend. Not specifically from Myles Garrett. He's been in the lane that he's in. But what was displayed by ESPN in that panel, the way that the situation was presented, I don't think was fair to Mason Rudolph.
Mike Tomlin goes on ESPN to tell ESPN he doesn't like the job ESPN did. That is how a leader of men, as Mason Rudolph tweeted in response to Mike Tomlin's appearance last night, that is how a leader of men gets out in front of a situation for a member of his team. All impressive right, what Mike Tomlin did yesterday.
I'm more interested because that's all been talked through, I think, for the past 20 hours or so, right? Like all that Mike Tomlin did and he eviscerated them and whatever. I think that I'm more interested now in where we go from here. You know, there are some people saying this should be the end game. This should be it. It should be done. I think that Mason Rudolph, though, however frivolous, and it would be, there's no way he ever collect anything. It's not, you know how hard it is to prove that you defame somebody. It's not going to happen. He could go through, though, and go through as far through the process as he would like to see and potentially get people deposed. And then they'd have to speak under oath. Like, Myles Garrett has never had to speak under oath. He's had to talk to NFL investigators. You don't necessarily need to speak under oath or you're not deposed there. That could happen. And Mason Rudolph, if he really wants to push it, could. We're at an interesting crossroads, especially now that there's a development on the other side of it, so to speak, the non-Pittsburgh side of it. Albeit vague, I think what John Dorsey said to the Akron Beacon Journal, or at least texted to the Akron Beacon Journal, is of note overnight.
Yeah, the Akron Beacon Journal reporting late last night that when texted about Myles Garrett's contention that he told John Dorsey about the supposed racial slur right after the game, said that's correct and it's the truth, that Garrett informed him right away that Thursday night. And then from there, also told teammate Larry Ogunjobi, according to Ogunjobi in his statements a couple weeks later.
Well, here's where I don't believe any of that. And I'll be just real honest with you. I don't believe any of it. Mike Tomlin is a very high-ranking African-American in the NFL and the most high-ranking Pittsburgh Steeler, member of the Pittsburgh Steeler organization, who's a black man, right? Mike Tomlin also stepped so far out of character. While we're all sitting there and watching him and we're essentially cheering him on like it's a third and five and he just hit a big long pass for a first down to secure a game. We're doing that yesterday if we're watching that just past 11 o'clock or whatever it was or 10 o'clock. I forget what time it was on, but it was on yesterday late morning. We're watching that. I think that what needs to be remembered about all that is it was in the offseason. Mike Tomlin never talks. Mike Tomlin hardly ever does anything like that. Mike Tomlin was firm and forthright with Stephen A. Smith. There was no reason for a man of his stature and his magnitude to stick his neck out on the line for some backup quarterback unless he was dead ass 100% absolutely sure that what he knows is what he knows. Or the back end of this is Mike Tomlin looks really bad too. What vested interest other than, you're not going to tell me, like, this isn't Ben Roethlisberger. This isn't Juju. This isn't Pouncey. This isn't somebody that's a longtime Pittsburgh Steeler. This is an expendable backup quarterback who got beat out by a guy that makes duck calls. I mean, that really happened this year. So for Mike Tomlin to do what he did yesterday is enormous, because if he's wrong, there's really no reason for him to go to bat for a guy like that unless he's 100% right.
Yeah, I think they still have more belief in Mason Rudolph than looking at him as just the guy who was beat out by Duck at one point. But the point remains the same. And it's a very strong point that Mike Tomlin made in coming out on national television yesterday to stick up for a player on his team and essentially say, and this is what I think this all comes down to, whether you look at the statement made by Rudolph's lawyer over the weekend, whether you look at the statement put out by Mike Tomlin over the weekend, and then furthermore expounded upon yesterday in his interview with Stephen A. Smith, the point made is, listen, Myles Garrett, we have given you every opportunity to stop with this, because you have no proof that this is what Mason Rudolph said, and we firmly believe that Mason Rudolph did not say it to you. So listen, this is our one final warning shot across the bow. If you continue to disparage Mason Rudolph by insisting that he made these remarks and threw a racial slur at you, then we will be forced to go to the next level. Maybe not the Pittsburgh Steelers, but we will certainly support Mason Rudolph and his representatives in going to the next level, even if it is frivolous, even if it may bear out nothing more than getting people deposed and sitting down in front and to make a sworn statement. We will stand behind him, and we have no problem with him doing that, because that's essentially what Mike Tomlin said yesterday.
And another thing that came out from a news value standpoint of Mike Tomlin talking to ESPN for me was, I wasn't aware that the Pittsburgh Steelers had done their own investigation. Or it feels like, you'd known that they probably asked Mason Rudolph what happened. But it feels like when Mike Tomlin talked about the NFL investigation and our investigation, it came off to me like it was deeper than one would think on the surface. Like the Pittsburgh Steelers took time and resources to really go down that road and find out. Like, it wasn't good enough. Hey, Mason, did you call him the N-word? No. Okay, thanks. It felt like that they did a lot of due diligence to arrive at a decision to put Mike Tomlin in a room with a microphone on him in front of ESPN to say, we know what we know, and we know he didn't say this.
Because
it took me back a little bit to the depth of the Steelers' internal investigation was probably deeper than I assumed initially.
Well, because to your point, if Mike Tomlin sits down on camera, on national television, in front of the world essentially, and says, no, we believe Mason Rudolph, he better damn well sure believe Mason Rudolph, and better damn well sure know that Mason Rudolph didn't actually say that. And that leads me down the same path that you just outlined there, which is they know for sure that Mason Rudolph did not say this through their own investigatory process. Mike Tomlin had a ton of things to say in regards to defending his quarterback. We continue to talk about that throughout the morning, but also something about a former Pittsburgh Steeler that was very interesting. We'll let you hear that next. So do we think we've reached the end of the road with this Myles Garrett, Mason Rudolph thing? Has it been properly put to bed, or do we expect more to come of it after Mike Tomlin's discussion with Stephen A. Smith on ESPN yesterday on ESPN's First Take? One of the other things Mike Tomlin was asked about, though, real briefly, was former Pittsburgh Steeler Antonio Brown.
Once a Steeler, always a Steeler. We had great success over the course of 9+ years with Antonio. We're always going to be interested in his growth and development as a man, and we'll be open to assisting him in that. But we have no current business interest at this time.
All right, that's simple for me.
Yeah.
People make a big meal about this.
No, but up until he says but, you're sitting there watching it, listening to it, going, oh, man, is he going to say what I think he's going to? And then he just, bam,
and
shuts it down.
Know-nothing Max Kellerman was on TV yesterday as I was watching this, saying, and he actually said that was the biggest part of news in this whole situation, trying to deflect the Myles Garrett stuff, which is ridiculous. Here is exactly, I'm here to decode what Mike Tomlin said. What Mike Tomlin said, here's the Mike Tomlin decoder, is that Antonio Brown will never play for our football team ever again. He's never going to be welcome to put on a helmet for the Pittsburgh Steelers again, or for the Pittsburgh Steelers again. But translation, once a Steeler, always a Steeler means, if there's something where they bring people out on the 35-yard line and they honor them, if there's some Hall of Fame sort of, that thing they do in the Great Hall kind of thing, if Antonio Brown wants to reach out and come to a game or practice or St. Vincent with his family 5-10 years down the road, once a Steeler, always a Steeler.
Right.
That's the translation there. It's not, we need a wide receiver. we're going to allow this guy who is patently off the rails, and we just had him on last week, and, you know, I think that he's trying to find the right path, but it's not going to be with the Pittsburgh Steelers. That's not what the invitation was there. It is get in touch with player relations if you want to bring your kids back to a game sometime 5 or 10 years
right.
down the road.
Yeah, no, it's really it was well done by Mike Tomlin, if that's what he intended to do, to kind of string people out for just a second, and then, bang, just close it down and say, we have no current business interest. And I think – look, if you're Mike Tomlin, probably the most difficult part of navigating your tenure in Pittsburgh, aside from the actual, you know, game planning and coaching stuff, the dealing with people stuff, the dealing with adults who should be able to act like men stuff, the most difficult part of that for Mike Tomlin's tenure in Pittsburgh has been dealing with Antonio Brown. And he finally probably feels like he's rid of that headache. There's no way in the world he'd entertain the idea of bringing Antonio Brown. Deontay Johnson, James Washington, and Juju Smith-Schuster could all get suspended for the year. And he's not calling up AB to say, hey, you want to come play football for us again, AB?
No.
Once a Steeler, always a Steeler. No, that's not how that works.
Now, let me ask you, by the way, the time right now is 7:18, brought to you by WeatherSeal Home Services. Let me ask you this. The evolution of today in this story, because there's always something new, something next, something that's happening in the current and that will happen in the future with this story. Does this John Dorsey text to the Akron Beacon Journal grow legs today? I think that it'll have to be vetted out. I think that some people will report on it. If the general manager of a team got text and information at the time in real time that the N-word was said from Mason Rudolph to Myles Garrett, why, again, then, wasn't a bigger meal made of it organizationally
right.
by the Cleveland Browns?
Especially when Dorsey released a statement, what was it, 10 days after the game? I think it was November 21st. The game was on the 11th, correct me, or no, a week after the game. He released a statement that said Garrett was, quote, open and honest with us about the incident from the start. That statement was an opportunity to say, hey, there were incendiary words used by Mason Rudolph, the nature of which will be specifically noted in Myles Garrett's meeting with the league regarding his possible discipline. We'll leave it at that at this time. But there's nothing in there about
right,
that.
Right, like, are they not in the business of – so you're telling me that the Cleveland Browns would be in the business of not in the immediacy or not expeditiously eradicating or trying to eradicate a bigot out of football? That's what there's – we're going to sit on it and think about it for
right.
a while.
We're going to just kind of lay back and see how this plays out. No.
That's not the way you go about that sort of thing from either the foot troops situation or the general situation.
If it had happened –
from either on the ground or in the boardroom. You don't.
If it had happened somehow in reverse, let's say an African-American player from the Pittsburgh Steelers.
The Cam Hayward got called
right.
that by the quarterback of
Baker Mayfield. Do you think for a second
no.
the Pittsburgh Steelers wouldn't tell everybody and their mother about it as soon as they heard?
Because exactly what Mike Tomlin said yesterday on that thing about how the Rooneys and all the way up the chain in this organization has championed rights, they've championed chances, they've championed everything for everybody of all colors in football. It just doesn't make sense.
No.
It's all easy to say after. It's okay to arrive at a conclusion that I think people are lying. And that's where I am.
Yeah,
I think people are lying.
And they're doing a pretty bad job
so
of covering up tracks after the case.
Go through with the lawsuit. Know you're not going to collect anything. Go through, file it. Know you're not going to collect a dime or anything. But people are going to be, they're going to be made to squirm under oath.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.